What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. This is episode number 144. I'm Jared here with Paul.
What up?
Coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. Today, we are going to be giving our analysis and reaction to UFC 278, namely the top three fights, Edwards versus Usman, Rockhold versus Costa, and the Merab versus Aldo fight at bantamweight. Then we are definitely going to be discussing BKFC 27, the main and the co-main event. I saw Perry versus MVP, and our boy Connor Tierney put on a masterful performance. And then we are going to be talking about boxing. The heavyweight showdown finally happened between Usyk and Joshua. Does this pave the way for Fury versus Usyk and the ultimate unification bout finally happening at heavyweight? Before we get to the combat sports, though, you know what time it is. Grab your weed, fire that up, and let's get into the weed of the week. Smoke weed every day. Ooh, all right, Paul, I got to say, dude, whatever that is that you just fired up that I'm going to hit here real quick, it smells great.
Yeah, it's fire.
But before, you know, we dive into this, I want to take just a moment to say, like, there's a lot of people who, you know, they kind of like this little part of our show, and it's not the main focus of our show here, and some people choose to join in with us and have a little puff during the show, and some people don't, and that's fine either way. It doesn't matter. But for some folks who live in states where cannabis is not a legal substance yet, it can be a little bit of a thing they wish they could do, and maybe they're hesitant to join in because of the legal status, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that is what makes me so excited to share our sponsor for today's show, Binoid. They're a CBD and Delta THC company that produces items that are legal in, as near as I know, all 50 states. You simply got to be over 21. They're produced from hemp plants, and they have all the familiar products that you would see like if you went to a dispensary. So they've got vape pens, they've got dabs, they've got flower-type products that you can buy.
Edibles.
All sorts of things, all made with federally legal CBD and Delta 9, 10, and 11 THCs. We've got a great spot on our website where you as a listener to our show can go to SWATMMA.com and just click on the cool stuff button, and you'll see a bunch of information about Binoid, about their company, the different products that we like. And if you use our links there, you can get 20% off of an order. We'd encourage you all to check it out, and it gives you a way that maybe if you want to kind of join in the smoking part of our show, but you can't do it, and you don't want to, you know, worry about any legal ramifications, that you can join in that way, be it a CBD product or a Delta THC product, and we think it's pretty awesome.
All right, so with that being said, this week we are puffing on some Super Lemon OG.
That's what this is right now.
Yeah, that's the one we got puffing on right now. Right. Yep, that's made by a company... DNA Genetics. They cross two pretty like notable strains, I'd say here. We got the Super Lemon Haze and the Captain Crip OG.
Okay, the Captain Crip I'm not super familiar with, but I smoked the hell out of Super Lemon Haze. I have for years.
So
it's a killer strain.
Kind of a little interesting story about these two strains though. They both won top prizes at the 2014 High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. But both of them as concentrates. So this is the flower form of them put together. So it's got
that's some very interesting.
Pretty nice lineage there. Absolutely. And then also we are smoking on some Jenny Kush today. Jenny Kush, a very, very top-notch strain. This one's 29%, which it's going to put us on our ass later. So we kind of save this for a little bit later in the show.
You know, cool thing about Jenny Kush is I'm from Colorado originally before I moved out here to Vegas about 12 years ago now, 10 years ago. And, you know, I'm sorry, I can't remember her last name at the moment off the top of my head.
Jenny Munson.
Jenny Munson was the person who this strain was created for.
Yeah.
She was a marijuana activist in Colorado who got in a terrible car accident. I believe it was a drunk driver that hit her. I could be mistaken. But it left her like four children without their mom. And this strain was created by growers in Colorado to help raise money for her family after that accident. And now, of course, when you buy the strain at your local dispensary, you're not supporting that in any way. The strain, of course, branches out and becomes available after that. But that's a pretty cool root story, I find, for weed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And it's they started a whole foundation around it. So everyone who sells the Jenny Kush strain then sends the proceeds to the foundation.
Oh, that's awesome. See, I didn't even realize that, that it was still doing that.
Yeah. So that's what we're smoking on today. Got some real fire weed. Thanks again to Bioanoid CBD for supporting the podcast,
yeah,
guys.
Just go to SWATMMA.com. Click on that cool stuff button, and you'll find all sorts of interesting things for Bioanoid on there. Cool.
Now let's dive into some combat sports. So we had some really, really exciting fights over the weekend. We had a little mix of everything, too. So we had some boxing. We had some bare-knuckle boxing. We had mixed martial arts. We had all the grounds covered. And what was cool about this Saturday of combat sports is everything had its own time slot. We had BKFC in the morning. Then we had Usyk Joshua in the afternoon. And then the night we got a ridiculously good UFC main event.
They even threw a little PFL in there. A little bit of PFL in there, too.
Shout out to Bubba Jenkins securing his spot in the finals.
Absolutely. Kayla Harrison, no surprise there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I enjoyed it a lot. I started my morning off with BKFC. PFL was the one that lost out my viewership, at least. Yeah. When that was over,
it was in the opposite sweet spot.
Yeah, it was right into the Joshua Usyk. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the UFC to end the night was tremendous. We got to talk about, I think, BKFC. We might as well go in the order that it went down.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. And this is BKFC's big event in fucking London, dude. BKFC 27, headlined by this outrageous matchup between Michael Venom Page from Bellator and Michael Platinum Perry of UFC prior to BKFC.
I think he is now the face of bare knuckle fighting, I would have to say.
Yeah.
After Saturday's performance and how that fight went down, and his just popularity overall, I'd say as of right now, Mike Perry is the favorite. Although Louis Palomino is right there, I'd say Louis Palomino is the best bare-knuckle boxer. Mike Perry is the biggest face in bare-knuckle boxing at this point.
Yeah, Perry brings over a certain fan base, which I feel is what you just said is accurate. That fan base is going to resonate well with BKFC, and I think the BKFC fan base that didn't know who Perry was after these last two fights, they're like, okay, he's pretty good on the mic. Afterwards, he beats MVP in this crazy six-round fight. I mean, for those of you listening, BKFC's 5 2-minute rounds, but they don't have draws. If it's a draw, it goes to an extra six-round sudden death. And the winner of that sixth round is the winner of the fight. And that's what happened in the main event. We saw a really back-and-forth bout here, and one that, honestly, Paul, most people in the MMA world, at least, wrote off Mike Perry here.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I expected him to lose here. And he really surprised me. But
he opens up the first round, drops MVP on his ass, and that wound up to have a significant impact on the fight, because that's a 10-8 round, just like boxing. Which and that's ultimately led to the draw. I had it scored as a draw, too. I scored the fight. I had it as a draw. I was pleasantly surprised the judges there did as well.
Yeah. So what, that means you had a 9-9 round at one point?
Because
it would be 10-8, and then MVP would have to make up the 10-8 with two rounds to win in a five-round fight. So I think that, and the only way I really saw it being a draw was if you had it as a 9-9 in round two.
Actually, I have my scorecard right here, which I'll tell to you, I've got, I had round number one, 10-8 Perry.
Yeah.
Round two, I had 10-9 MVP.
Yeah.
Then round three, I had 10-9 Perry. Round four, 10-9 MVP. And then 10-9 MVP round five. So add it all up, it was a draw.
Yeah, I'm high as fuck, my bad. Yeah. I'm not thinking about numbers right now. That'd be a four-round fight. Forgot it's five.
But that gives us this extra round, which, I'll be honest, I had no idea. It's only happened one other time in BKFC's short history. It's not something they talk a lot about, and I had no idea. So I was like, okay, this fight's going to be a draw. That's interesting. We're probably going to get a rematch here. And instead, they're like, we're going back in for a sixth round, and my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
That's like Pride. Remember back in the day, one more round.
It was so sick, dude. I was blown away. And then in that sixth round, it comes out, and Platinum Perry just... he had that extra gear. This guy is a bare-knuckle boxer.
Yeah.
I think you're right. He's going to be the face. He comes on. He made his little statement about how, like, he made it sound like he decided there was going to be one more round. He was like, no, they could be no draw here. We're going to go again.
One more blood.
One more blood. He was pretty sick, dude. He gets a big, big win here. He said he does good on the microphone. It was an exciting fight. I don't know how anybody can't respect him for the win here.
Yeah.
And his win over Julian Lane is a big win, too, in the bare knuckle world. People might, who think of it only in MMA terms, might think, well, he beat Julian Lane, big deal. Yeah. No, Julian Lane is a solid fucking bare knuckle boxer. Mm-hmm. With his experience, he is definitely the top tier, and he got beat.
Here's, I don't know, I don't know.
You don't know what, sir.
I kind of thought MVP won the fight, to be honest.
I can't. We tried to bring up fight and punch stats, but they're not available, unfortunately. So we don't have the information.
Here's just kind of my synopsis of like why I feel like MVP won, though. Is I felt the first round, Perry came out and like kind of showed him how to bare knuckle box, you know? The first round, he kept coming out first. He was landing first. An MVP in his, at least in his mixed martial arts career, I feel like he's been more of a counter striker. But I feel like in BKFC, unless you are an in and out kind of guy, it's really hard to be a counter striker. One thing that MVP was doing wrong early in the fight was like he was going for counters, but he'd like kind of meet Perry in the middle. And, like, let Perry throw first, and then he would start throwing. But I saw, like, as the fight went on, I saw, like, MVP start to use more of, like, his like, jabs and straights and landing first on Perry, like, as the fight went on. I felt like after that first round, it kind of started going that way. But then I think as the last round is really where kind of not the fifth round, but I'm talking the sixth round. I think that's really where you would have to score it for Perry. Like, if it goes five rounds, if they just did the five-round decision, I give it to MVP. Like,
but how do you do that with a 10-8 first round, though? The scores
I think
don't
he won
up.
Every other round.
I don't know.
I think that I think the second round, they should have not counted that as a knockdown, to be honest.
I gave him the fourth round, and I found that was a really tough round to score. My notes on it was a tough round to score, but I went ahead and gave it to him because even though MVP was bleeding and fucked up, Perry's jaw was looking pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Perry had the nonstop forward pressure. But I don't know, when you look at round three, you know, we had some big fucking rights from Perry that really hurt MVP, and he had his hands down nonstop. I thought those two big right hands really sealed the fucking round up. Whereas Perry, he got cut. But he got cut when he was dropping monster bombs.
Yeah. Well, you know? That was kind of the difference. It was I felt like as the fight went along, though, it was more like volume versus like power. I thought Perry was landing the better strikes, but I just thought MVP was starting to land a lot more.
Definitely. I had him winning those last two rounds. You know what I mean?
No,
but then he didn't have enough for that six. I thought it was pretty definitive.
Yeah, the
if
six.
You just look
yeah.
at the sixth round as a thing. I was like, well, that Perry clearly.
Because that's how you have to judge it after that. The whole draw and everything happened before thrown out the window. All that matters is in the sixth round, I thought. In the sixth round, Perry was just more fresh. Like, really is what it came down to. Is like, you saw MVP try to come out early, and he had some good success early, but it was all Mike Perry late. Late in the end of the round, and that's what leaves.
In that six, yeah.
Yeah, like, early it was like MVP just, like, kind of emptied the gas tank in the first 30 seconds. And then after that, Perry was like, all right, you're mine.
He's
now.
Such a dog. He, like, he just.
Both those guys are fucking dogs, man. That was a great fight.
It was a great
fight. I don't care what anybody says.
Like, I was my candidate for fight of the year for BKFC. Like, not for all combat sports, not yet, but I thought for fight of the year for BKFC.
I mean,
that was some shit,
so far, there hasn't really been that many really great fights across.
Like, there might have been other fights that maybe had bits of more excitement, but again, I think you have to add in the consequences, the who's fighting who here. Yeah. This is fucking Michael Venom Page fighting. I mean, there's a lot there. And for me, that's fight of the year in BKFC so far. I really enjoyed it. I think Perry is really making a name for himself here.
He
and I think he is very likely to be the face of the BKFC, but he's got some strong competition for that in our co-main event, which saw a guy I'd like to call a friend of the show, Connor Tierney, who we're really working to get him back on here. He's a busy man right now. He's kind of blowing up here.
Yeah,
but I get him back on the show to discuss this, hopefully. But Connor, he's the co-main in his home country. He's fighting Joe Elmore, who's no joke. And he turns in another absolute fucking masterful performance in a whole nother way than the main event. The main event was like this bloody
dog fight
where Joe Elmore was a bloody fucking mess by the end of it. Connor Tierney was I mean, it's funny. I remember some of the punch stats from this that they gave during the fight because it really stood out that like Elmore had outstruck Tierney by like 20. It was like 55 to 72 or something on the strike count, if I remember correctly, in favor of Joe. But it wasn't even in a question who won that fight.
Like, yeah.
It was no.
It was 50 to 45 in some judges.
Talk about an ass whooping, Tierney's movement is on a whole nother level.
You know what I like about his fight style, though, is like his movement and his defense is on a whole nother level, but like when it gets down to like let's throw down time, he's fucking in there in the pocket throwing. Because like you saw a couple times in the fight where I think the majority of Elmore's strikes that landed came like these flurries that they would have kind of once around where like both of them would just grab a clinch and he would just try to fucking throw wild punches, and like Connor Tierney stayed calm in there and like was throwing back, still got out, and then from distance, literally Elmore had zero chance of landing.
Yeah, Elmore tried to spur him on, you know, early. He was getting his hands down and sticking his jaw out and talking shit, and it was kind of funny. Like in my notes on here, I was like, you know, Elmore was talking shit, and now he's a bloody mess. By the end of round three, taking a bloodbath, and I had Connor up 3-0, and my notes were just like, he's so good. Elmore's frustrated as fuck. He can't hit him.
Well, and it was funny, like, though, too, because Elmore was so frustrated that he was trying to frustrate Connor back by, like, trying to taunt him, but it just wasn't working whatsoever.
I would encourage everybody to go to Connor Tierney BKFC. That's his Instagram handle, where he has posted up some slow motion video highlights of that fight where you'll see exactly what we're talking about. This isn't just the cliche, oh, he's on another level. Like, no, he's on another level.
Well, because you know why? Is he's fighting a different style of bare knuckle that we've never really seen anybody really be successful yet with. We've kind of both, like, and I think the majority of the viewers have kind of, like, decided that this kind of bare knuckle boxing, like, there's really, it's more about how nasty your offense is because defense is so hard. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like the difference is Connor Tierney is, like, now shown a level of a mixture of offense and defensive, like, work that most people just aren't doing, because it's like we've talked about too, it's like a very MMA supplied organization, whereas Connor Tierney's coming from the boxing world and he's trained solely as, like, he was going an amateur boxer, but when he became a pro, he solely focused on bare knuckle boxing. Mm-hmm. He talks about that, if you guys go back and watch the interview we had with him a couple of months back. And that style, I feel like, is so different than what anybody else is doing in BKFC right now.
100%, Paul. 100%. He's a real problem. I think he's the future champ. And I'm not just saying that because he's on our show.
No, he's like it's undeniable.
I would be as equally amazed if we'd never met the guy or had a chance to talk with him. This is some special shit. BKFC has got lightning in a bottle with this kid right now. He reminds me of, like, Sweet Pea Whitaker with his movement. And I know that's probably high praise for a kid that's, you know, 6-1 or whatever he is in bare knuckle, but nobody's moving like this in bare knuckle right now. Nobody. And the whole deal with Sweet Pea was like, you couldn't hit this kid. Yeah. You know, like, he would be moving all around and be like, what the fuck just happened? They just can't land on Sweet Pea, you know?
Well, you know what it is too, is when there's a confidence level in which he fights with. And we've seen his jaw tested. His first fight too, he got up off the canvas, you know, and that's that's the thing, is like he plays a real game in there, is really what he does. He sets traps for his opponents. Like he moves around, goes, sometimes he has his hands down, sometimes he has his hands up, you know what I mean? He mixes it up, and his footwork is ridiculous.
Like, absolutely ridiculous. And his fight IQ and his fight vision.
Yeah.
Like, if you know what I mean, like not his actual, but he can see what's going on, the flow state, and where it's going, where he is slipping punches by a goddamn inch and a half, and he ain't even flinching, dog. Yeah. He knows that shit's gonna miss. It's a beautiful thing to see. I'm so stoked. This guy called out Louis Palomino, the champ champ, afterwards, and who we just, I think rightfully still said, is the best bare knuckle boxer on the planet.
Yeah.
I think he could probably give him all he can handle and win. I do, which yep. would, in my mind, solidify Connor Tierney as the pound-for-pound top bare-knuckle boxer at the moment. You know, if he goes in there and schools up Palomino like that, what can you say?
It'd be a very mixed-style fight.
This honestly. Would be at 65, I figure. Yeah. You know, I don't see Connor making it down to 55. I just don't see that happening. So this would be for Palomino's heavier weight belt.
Yeah, unless he beats him and wants to go down, too. That'd be crazy.
Because he's pretty tall, though. He's like 6'1", 6'2". I don't know if he could get down that far. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, that's the thing, too. He has a different body style than a lot of these guys at the top. Like Palomino and Elmore also. Like those guys had, like, they're more like compact, like jacked dudes, where he's like more of like a lengthy.
Yeah, he's like, lean to mean.
Yeah, lean, and he's fast. You know what I mean?
And look, here's another aspect to his game. And this is something I'd really like to ask him when he gets back on the show. Look, we know that where he's been, and maybe it's changed here in these last two fights, and I hope to God it has, maybe it hasn't, but it will be soon, is his status as a full-time fighter. Like, we know Connor has a job.
Yeah.
Like, he's coming from the UK where the BK boxing scene is much deeper and has a richer history than the United States, but they're not getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
All right. So he's this good having to go to work, do his 9 to 5, and then train on his off time.
Yeah.
What happens when Connor Tierney's full-time fighter, which he had a lot of sponsors on that. It looked like he had a custom jersey.
Yeah, that thing was pretty dope.
That shit was dope, dude. His shit was all up on there.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what if this isn't even his full game we're seeing yet? Because he can't do 2-a-days. He can't focus 100% on it yet.
Yeah.
What's around the corner, Paul?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's a problem for sure.
I'm really excited. And, you know, we'll ask him about all that as soon as we can. Rest of the card, as is with every BKFC card, bro, was absolutely exciting. I saw a lot on there that I think points to a future big showdowns. A couple fighters I want to name, like Jake Bostwick. He fought at middleweight.
Yeah, he's nasty. And this very is precise puncher.
Yeah. This is a guy built like a tank who has had ups and downs here in bare knuckle. I mean, going into this, he had one win and two losses. And sometimes, like we talked about multiple times on the show, it takes a little while to put this bare knuckle thing together. You can't simulate this in the gym. You can't go do bare knuckle sparring.
Yeah.
You know, you can do MMA sparring and you can still go half speed. You can't go half speed with your bare knuckles. It's just a different thing. It's hard. And sometimes you have to get the experience in before you kind of put it all together.
Yeah.
And it looks like this cat has put it together because it was an utter destruction. And when he came out in that second round, like when his opponent was trying to grapple and tie him up and Bostwick wasn't just having it, he just punched through it.
Dude,
like
it was
nasty. And he's firing off these 3 and 4 punch combos while moving forward at an incredible speed. Like he's firing off the number one. And by the time he fires off the two, he's already 2 steps forward. And then he's firing off the three. He's another 2 steps up, and they're up against the cage. Mm-hmm. And, like, what can you do with this giant tank of a fucking man barreling forward, throwing bombs at you like that? I think he's a real problem at middleweight.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like his thing, too, was just, like, the precision and like, accuracy of his punches. He wasn't throwing any wasted punches in there. He was throwing everything to land. And he was throwing everything in combos. He'd like kind of fade a little bit in with like the jab and not throw it all the way. But then he'd just come in and lay these combos down. And you're just like, holy shit, man. He was like landing 4 out of 5, 3 out of 4. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just the precision was ridiculous.
And it was the same almost type of scenario where his opponent was like,
had no choice.
Spent the first round kind of like taunting a little bit,
yeah,
calling
yeah.
for the shots. Yeah. And then by the second round, the dude's like, I can't take no more.
Yeah, he literally told the ref to stop the fight.
Yeah. After that last fucking beat down against the cage, he was like, I can't do it no more.
And he broke his nose bad because he literally at one point Just started dropping his mouthpiece every like minute and a half because some of it was because the punches were landing, but like when he got knocked down, remember he took his mouthpiece out three different times.
Yeah, the rest like put like, your mouthpiece
catch,
back.
Yeah,
in.
Catch your breath, and then they start the fight back on. He takes his mouthpiece out again, yeah. Takes a deep breath, puts it back in, and gets KO'd.
Yeah,
so it's like
nose.
That's yeah, that's yeah, some good shit.
It was a great card. BKFC is continuing to make just awesome strides forward. I mean, that's all there really is to say. I thought the commentary was on fucking point. Like, I hope they don't fuck with that recipe. You don't need to bring in some famous person to be a third man like the UFC tried to do. Yeah. Remember, it used to be just be Goldie and fucking and Rogan. They should stick with this team they got.
Yeah.
It's excellent. They explain everything well. They break the action down great. They fucking talk about the fighters when it's appropriate. I think they do a great job explaining shit to the audience, who most of them are going to be new.
Yeah.
Many of them. Your final thoughts on the BKFC card?
Real good. I mean, it's literally was a flagship event for them. It could be the one that, you know, fires them up another notch. You know, they have these fights every, like, couple of years that takes them to the next level, and I think this is one of them. Yeah. You know, like, they had that first event where they had Pauly Malignaggi and like Artem, like that put him to the next level, right? And then they had the whole, it was a failed try, but they had the whole Paige Van Zandt experiment. That
Knucklemania
one. Yeah, Knucklemania, like that. Like, although she loses, you still had people from that event that became eventual stars. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is the next flagship event. Like, now this is going to take them to the next level, and then we'll see where they go from here.
They couldn't have asked more from the two headliners.
No.
I mean, the main event and the co-main event.
I do have a quick question about that, though.
What up?
If you are Michael Venom Page and you are Bellator and Scott Coker right now, after you just loaned out MVP, I'm asking them to loan me Mike Perry and have them run it back in a mixed martial arts fight.
I would be, too.
You know,
just if I'm David Feldman, I wouldn't even care. I'd be
yeah,
like, sure.
Just so both teams and both sides, too, like, get that you know,
they get the
equal
rub
partnership.
Off, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because that is something that I think is interesting now, you know, like, because Michael Venom Page is in a weird spot in his career where, you know, he just lost for the interim title. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of in limbo as far as like that top three. You can bring Mike Perry in, and what if Mike Perry wins again? Then you have Mike Perry, you know, having multiple avenues to make money and multiple avenues to get paid because his stock is just rising.
Absolutely, and it boosts BKFC's stock because they get that association with Bellator, which is a much more established brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also show that Feldman is willing to work with other promotions, not just when it's beneficial to him because he gets MVP at his show, but when he's willing to loan out his guy to go do some shit for you, too.
Yeah.
I think it would be a really smart thing to do.
I think it would sell, too, because we saw how sick the first fight was, and now you get to watch an MMA where the whole game changes and MVP can throw kicks and knees. And
I'd be watching it.
Dude, I'm watching.
I'd be.
Yeah.
They can
and
run
we
it
know
as a
Mike
Bellator
Perry,
pay-per-view. I'd
well,
buy it.
Let's just remember a fucking Mike Perry's fight against like Vicente Luque where he like got his nose smashed into his face and fought fucking the whole fight. Like, that's Mike Perry's style. Cause like, and that's what he did in this fight. And he'll do that in Bellator too. That would sell for Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if I'm Scott Coker, I'm like, all right, David Feldman, I gave you my guy. Let me loan yours. Let's see what we can do. Let's make some money.
Let's hope it happens.
Yeah. So yeah, then let's kind of move over to the boxing side of things. So this weekend we saw Alexander Usyk once again defeat Anthony Joshua, this time by split decision.
Yeah, but that split was bullshit. Everybody who's anybody knows. Nobody agrees that there should have been a split decision there.
Yeah, so now with two wins over Joshua, this kind of begs the question now. What do we need to do to get this Fury fight going?
Yeah, because prior to this, as a recap for those listening, Fury, you know, has said multiple times that he is retired.
Yeah.
But the only belt he's given up was the ring belt, which just went to Usyk. Mm-hmm. And the ring belt isn't that real anyways.
Yeah.
It's more of an honorary thing. But he hadn't given up his real belt. Usyk said the only fight that he wants is Fury.
Yeah.
Fury came out on social media afterwards, said that fight fucking sucked between Joshua and Usyk, and that he was here to stay forever, and Usyk better get that checkbook out, son. So I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. But the question becomes, though, like, The one thing that always fucks up these unification bouts, and it's kind of starting, it's happened, but it's kind of moving along with the Spence Crawford one. But like the only problem that ever happens with all these unification belts is at the end of the day, it's going to be negotiation. Who's going to get the split? How big the split's going to be? Where's it going to be? Everything like that. And I think we're not going to get that for at least another year.
Ooh, a year? Ooh, that'd be rough. That would be rough. I'm hoping for a quicker resolution. Because
I hope so, but I'm just saying.
I don't think either of these men have any other fights that make sense. I actually think it's this fight for both of them, or retirement, is a real retirement for each of them is more likely. Because, all right, we've all heard this from Fury, but just to recap, what does Fury have left to prove? If he doesn't unify these belts, what, is he going to fight the next mandatory in WBC? Are you kidding me? And what about Usyk? Let's not forget that this is a unified cruiserweight champion, undefeated, who just went up and twice beat Joshua to have three of those belts. Well, who's he going to fight? The IBF mandatory is now Felipe Hrshevik. Is that what he's going to stick around and do?
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect. I'm just saying that's not what next for this guy who's excelling at the top. He wants to unify heavyweight and go down his history as a unified cruiserweight, unified heavyweight champ, and then he'll retire most likely too because there's nothing left to prove.
Yeah.
How old he's is 35.
Usyk? Is he?
Okay. Yeah. It's easy to think he's new and young because he is new at heavyweight, but he's had a full career.
Full career at cruiserweight.
He's 35 fucking years old. What is next for Tyson Fury? There's nothing left for him to prove either.
Yeah.
He fucked up Deontay Wilder 3 times.
Yeah, and I think Joshua really fucked himself here too.
Joshua, nobody wants to see him fight Fury anymore. Yeah. Or Usyk a third time. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that they're both likely to retire. And I think that it's much more likely we get a unification bout than those two actually retire and vacate 4 belts.
Yeah, I don't think either of them is... Let me change a little bit of what I said. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying it's going to take a while.
It could.
Just because of negotiation.
It just depends on...
Because we've seen
who...
how the negotiation, just of the last two Joshua fights with Usyk team, like what they feel, and rightfully so, that they are, you know, the A side of a lot of these fights. And it makes sense when, you know, he's... But now you're going into against a guy like Tyson Fury, who's also undefeated. He's also, you know, all his accolades match up with Usyk. And that's why I feel like there could be negotiation problems.
What I'd imagine that they do that just makes logical sense to me would be to start comparing pay-per-view numbers.
Yeah.
Because maybe the first fight with Usyk and Joshua, you could say those were Joshua's numbers, but the second are Usyk's numbers, and we know what Fury is the draw when he's
the
head.
Good
There's
point.
No, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so whoever gets, especially if they're similar, maybe they get a similar split. But if it's a whopper in one way or the other, there's going to be problems.
Yeah, there's going to be
Fury definitely feels he's the A side.
Here. Yeah, and as he should too, though.
That's I think he thing. Is the A
both
side.
Both guys, right I do here. Too. But I'm just saying, like, both guys have this list of accomplishments in which they can feel how they want to feel on either
Absolutely.
Side. You know what I mean?
If you were to go to the average casual fan on the street and ask 100 people who Tyson Fury is, I bet 90 of them know.
Yeah, nobody.
Or they'll be like, oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
You say Alexander Usyk, maybe 20.
Yeah, for sure.
Which, that's no shade. It's just, that translates to pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the hardcores buy that shit anyway. So.
Yeah.
I hope it happens, dude. Bob Arum, or Frank Warren, who's got the negotiation on this? Is it Arum or Warren?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think it's Bob Arum. He said he expects to be negotiating right away.
Oh, sick.
So there we'll see, man.
Let's see it, then. All right. So that about rounds up our... heavyweight boxing talk for the day.
I think it does. There was some other boxing that just wasn't nearly as consequential that we're not going to have time to talk about on the show. But
So let's dive into the UFC. A freaking crazy night.
UFC 278. Let's talk about these top 3 fights because there's a lot on the card.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, there's the main event, which saw, you know, Usman defending his title against Leon Edwards. We had Luke Rockhold fighting Paulo Costa at middleweight. And then we had Rob versus Aldo at bantamweight. You like how I said a bantamweight?
Hold on. I got to give one honorable mention of the night, though.
What's that?
Tyson Pedro, after all that time off, all the, you know, it was a real, real, like, solid moment for him there in the octagon after the fight. And I feel like he just, his voice, like, you could hear it in his voice that, like, this was everything he wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He had a very quick and decisive win.
Yeah. Quick little KO, which is, you know, good for him. But let's start with Merab versus Aldo.
Like, this is a consequential fight at 135 pounds. Yeah. Number four versus number six. Aldo's legendary. But it kind of went the way I thought it would, which is Merab gets the win. Aldo looked a little hesitant.
Very interesting game plan from Aldo. I didn't really know what he was doing in there.
I didn't either.
He was so tentative on the feet.
It's unusual. Maybe wonder if Merab packs a little bit more in his punches than we're aware of.
It could be that, but I just feel like his tentativeness to throw in general was a problem. It wasn't that I don't really necessarily think his defense was bad. I feel like his defense was the best part of his fight. But I just didn't see anything ever materialize offensively for him, you know what I mean? There was like a lot of flash stuff that he kind of was able to get on him, but like it was all like in sparing moments. There was never any kind of combos thrown. There was never like any kind of consecutive strikes or any rhythm. It was all defending takedowns and then sitting on the cage and like pretending like it's a snooze fest because you're getting held on the cage. But hey, bud, you got to get the fuck off the cage.
I remember seeing that before from Aldo. Like, we had Merab just shoving him up against the cage, like I said, and then he's landing like a steady barrage of knees,
body and knee strikes,
to the thighs and the hamstrings of Aldo, and everywhere he could land them, really, his ass, fucking wherever he could fucking land a knee, he's landed. And Aldo is putting his hands up, rolling his eyes, doing the yawning thing.
Yeah, stupid.
Then get him off you, bro.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like those are cumulative strikes. And I don't care how much you want to pretend they don't hurt. When someone's kneeing the shit out of your fucking leg 20, 30 times, that hurts. I bet Aldo's having a hard time walking today from those.
Yeah.
So that was a little unusual from the former champ. But I was impressed with Merab. That guy's a legit fighter. But now I have to say, was I wrong in what I said earlier? I said this was a consequential fight at bantamweight. But is it? Because Merab says he ain't fighting Aljo. Because they're from the same Cerro Longo camp. They're boys. Merab made a point of talking about they've been friends for 10 fucking years. Aljo was his
Aldo
boy when he first got here.
Show how to fight. Show him how to like wrestle and fight and all kinds of shit. And, like
that shit ain't happen unless they start hating each other somehow. Yeah. So I guess it's not that consequential for the division.
Yeah, but I still think it's a consequential fight for both guys. Because I do think that was Aldo's last fight.
I could see that.
It really looked like it. The way he had that little, they had that kind of, I don't know what to call it, little chat in the octagon between Merab and Aldo, and it seemed like he was kind of telling him, he's like, man, you're my last fight.
Yeah, good they shit. Both knelt down and had a heart-to-heart conversation that we don't see from Jose Aldo.
Which is weird.
Past.
What language were they speaking? Because Aldo doesn't speak English.
Yeah, it made me wonder, too. I mean, maybe he speaks a little bit more English than we know. Or maybe, fuck, maybe Merab speaks some goddamn Portuguese. We don't know.
Would be interesting if find out
but they were definitely saying something that was beyond the usual. Oh yeah, go fight, bro. Love you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like this was something a little bit different. You're right.
Yeah.
And it led me to also believe that this could be Jose Aldo's last fight.
Joe Rogan in there with Mike trying to
Joe
get
Joe Rogan
under
does the underground, the under the hand swoop, tried to snag it.
Oh, end of the combo. Shit. But something we talked about on our previous episode too. Now with that win for Chito Vera versus Dominic Cruz, I do think now he is the number one contender in that division.
Yeah, because despite what the UFC wants, let's just remove Merab from this number one. He's not fighting Aljo, so let's just pull him
out.
Well,
I do think his performance doesn't beg that either, though, because even though it was a better opponent, I think the fashion in which Chito Vera won his fight rose his stock more than what happened with Merab, because a lot of people... Although me and you, people who are hardcores, we like that performance. people in the crowd, people on the internet, everything, like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He's just holding him on the cage and kicking him in the legs. Like,
yeah, me and
you,
too.
Yeah, yeah. But me and you were like, we watched that and we go, man, that was a fucking masterful, like, game plan, taken out by Merab. But then people also who are casuals watch last weekend and they're like, oh shit, Chito Vera should fight for the title, not this guy. Chito Vera knocked fucking Dominic Cruz out cold.
Here's a question for you then. What happened in the, we know what happened in the Merab versus Jose Aldo fight. Well, what happened in the Chito Vera versus Jose Aldo fight?
Yeah, good point.
Chito Vera lost.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I'm just saying because Merab's not fighting for the belt, too. Like, he's saying, I don't want to fight for the belt.
I think Chito is probably next after the Dillashaw Sterling fight. I don't really think Jan, let's say he beats Sean O'Malley. Sean, that's not O'Malley. Earning you a rematch so soon, guy. Mm-hmm. Not after two. I mean, despite the first one being the DQ, it ultimately he's lost twice. You know, it's done, dude.
Yeah.
Like, or I guess it wasn't. Was it a DQ loss? Whatever it was. Yeah, he's lost
whatever
twice.
Whatever it was, yeah.
You don't beat Sean O'Malley and earn your way right back after that. There's more work to be done.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. This was highly beneficial for Chito Vera here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's likely the number one contender after Dillashaw.
Unless there was a little backstage chatter after the Merab fight when Aljamain Sterling, who corners Merab, was walking back with him. And there was a guy back there. Who just re-entered the USADA testing pool and is eligible to fight in October.
He was giving Aljo some advice about Dilly.
Yeah, about Dillashaw. He fought Dillashaw.
That'd be Henry Triple C.
Henry Cejudo. He's back in the USADA pool. Had a little chat with Aljo where some words were picked up by the microphones about how he said if he doesn't get the Volkanovski fight, he said after Dillashaw, he wants to fight Aljo.
Yeah. And it seemed like legit. It didn't seem like I was done for the cameras. Like, he went up and he gave him some advice, and then he was just like, you know
he's
what
like,
I mean?
Like,
I'm
next.
I got next.
Yeah. Kind of like, remember when Frankie Edgar went and said that to Conor after Conor knocked out Aldo? That was kind of the same vibe I got for it. Where it was like, hey, man, keep doing your thing, but, like, I'm coming for your ass. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just Volkanovski I'm gonna fight. If I can't get Volkanovski, it's me and you, bro.
So let's talk about what that means for just a second before we continue on with this. Is I think that's gonna boil down to what Volkanovski wants. Because Volkanovski is the active champion here, I think he gets preferential treatment. I think what he wants carries more weight than what Cejudo wants in the eyes of the UFC.
Yeah.
So I think that if Volkanovski is dead set on this 155 thing, you know, then that's what's going to happen. If he decides that he wants Cejudo at 45, then that's likely to happen. But I think because, especially with the creation of an interim title, if it hasn't been booked already, they've been openly discussing it, and Volkanovski's like, cool with it. I think he's going to push to go to 55. Which is going to result in Cejudo at 35.
Fight the winner in Makhachev
And Oliveira. Yeah. Because I think he'd have a strong case that, let's say, Oliveira loses. Since he's not even technically the champ right now, the title is vacant. Why would Oliveira deserve an instant rematch against Makhachev for the title? Like, should he lose? You're not even technically the champ at the moment. So I think that goes out the window, irregardless of what happens in the fight, unless it's some sort of crazy DQ bullshit or something.
But one thing we're not talking about at all either with this whole Merab situation is what if it's the opposite way? What if it is Aljamain Sterling moving to 145 after this TJ Dillashaw fight?
You also said he would do that.
Giving Merab a title shot for a vacant title versus, you know, anybody in that top five. What if that's our scenario here? What if we're looking at this all wrong and it's actually going to be Aljamain Sterling versus Volkanovski in the end? Because that's another thing that Dana White also said. He's the champion now, and I'll do whatever he wants to do. He said that right after Aljamain Sterling won his fight, and they asked Dana White about him going to 45. Because of the whole Merab thing. Because that's the thing. I don't want to see them fight.
No, even, me neither. I don't. I get it. I actually respect the fact that you're not going to do your thing, boys. I'd rather have that than these fallouts where you see like Masvidal and Colby, yeah, or Rashad and Jones, where it just shit tears apart gyms and this gets too personal. Fuck all that. Just do your thing. I don't know. It's a lot of intriguing options there, though, with Triple C entering.
I was trying to keep it safe.
Fell right off. Triple C entering the testing pool again, wanting shots at both 45 and 35. We'll see what's up. But all in all, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good performance from Merab. You just beat, yeah, Jose Aldo. If Jose can't keep you off him off the fence, then
it's his fault.
That's his fault. Let's talk about the co-main event now. 185, we saw the return of Luke Rockhold, who I've typically not been a fan of, who this past fight week did a 180. Mm-hmm. I was really rooting for this guy. He takes on Polo Costa in a crazy fight, man.
It was a good fight.
It was a crazy fight.
Yeah. Rockhold breaks his nose in the first round, and it truly, truly is the turning point of the fight.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that, because I was getting texts from my friends in Colorado like, what the fuck is wrong with Rockhold's gas tank? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I think his gas tank is fine. I think his nose is broken and he can't get any oxygen.
It's at elevation, too. That's
combined
one thing.
With being at elevation in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And you gotta open your mouth to breathe, which is a recipe for a broken jaw in combat sports. I thought he did great, man.
His chin held up, man.
He really turned it on when a lot of fighters would have been like, dude, my nose is broken.
Yeah.
It's TKO.
Yeah. He was definitely had some fucking faces when he was getting hit sometimes, but
oh, he lost. You know, he didn't win. Yeah. That's for sure. But
I thought
made
he at least won a round. I didn't think it was 30-27.
Oh, I didn't think it was 30-27 either.
Like,
he
didn't
was
he knock him down? Like, how
shots.
Did he knock him down in the third and you don't give him the third?
I don't know. He was landing
on
massive shots, dude. Like, he was staggering. Like, he'd have his hands down and look exhausted and then fire off these massive blows.
Yeah, he like literally at one point had his hands on his knees, waited for Paulo Costa to come in, and threw a fucking overhand left and caught him flush, and was like, oh, shit.
And staggers Costa back. Yeah, like, I thought it was impressive show of grit and determination.
He hit him with some sick kicks to the body. That fucking, like, tornado kick he hit him with the body. I was
sick.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
I'm actually sad because he retired afterwards. I think he still got a lot in him because he did that depleted. Like, dude, his nose is busted. He could have fucking taken the easy route out and left. Taking the loss with a TKO, like, you know.
Gone off into the sunset.
I mean, you could tell when he was getting hit in his nose.
He went out like a warrior, though. He went out on a shoe.
He went out like a dog. Absolutely out like a warrior. Impressed me on the way out the door. I'm going to remain a fan. I liked everything he was saying in the lead up to the fight.
Yeah.
Mainly about the UFC, about the pay problems that we've openly talked about all the time on the show.
Yeah.
And he stuck to his guns. And, you know, despite the fact that, frankly, a lot of MMA media, despite always saying they got the fighters' backs and shit, headlines I read were fucking slanted in Dana's favor. You know, it was shit like on, what was it, MMA Mania. It's like Dana responds to Luke Rockhold's bullshit, you know, things like that. And giving all this press to Dana saying they have all this excellent healthcare coverage and then not disputing that in the article at all, which is a joke. They do not have excellent healthcare coverage. There's a big goddamn difference between getting injured at the job while you're doing your contracted work and healthcare coverage.
Yeah.
Like, if you're working in a construction site, if you're like an independent contractor and you get hired to go in and work on a job and like something happens on the site and like you get severely injured, they're going to pay for your medical shit that happened there. But that's completely different than, like, paying for your health insurance that takes care of you the rest of your life from your job.
Yeah.
Like, it's a totally different thing.
It's a different thing.
So.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, if you tear your ACL in the middle of a fight and you, after the fight, like, you have to get emergency surgery, they're probably going to cover it. But if you're in training and something happens, there's not only the UFC doesn't have any kind of, like, real health insurance to the fighters. A lot of these health insurance companies won't pick up fighters because they're such high risk.
Yeah, it's a high risk
client.
Yeah, they need the big corporate umbrella under there to provide it. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah,
I mean the same thing happens on construction sites. I mean that's why you have these big umbrella corporations in every kind of dangerous job. I mean, you think it's easy for fucking cops to go get health insurance? You know, it's all kinds of shit like that.
Yeah,
like fucking, I get just so disappointed in a lot of MMA media sometimes. We should support these guys when they're talking about health insurance. We don't need to give yet another fucking platform from Dana White to spew nonsense bullshit.
Yeah.
We got the best health care coverage in the world. Get the fuck out of here. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You don't have any health care coverage.
You don't, though.
Yeah. You're doing the minimum.
Uh-huh.
And then acting like you should get a pat on the back and fucking, like, a thank you so much.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
So, yeah, Rockhold was, he was kind of, you know, bringing all those to light. And, unfortunately, going into this fight, I really wanted him to win. And he, unfortunately, wasn't able to pull it off.
We're not like a champ, though.
And whatever. Showed a lot of holes.
Costa's on the last fight of his contract. I hope he doesn't even re-sign at the UFC. I don't like this dude.
What if you went to BKFC?
Be interesting.
I don't think you'd do it.
I don't think he's a tool.
Pretty boy, for sure.
He's a tool.
So, what do you think's next for him? Who do you think really he could fight next? You think
he's like, what, 2-3 now in his last 5?
Losses to Adesanya and Vittori, right?
I saw nothing in that fight that would lead me to believe that he has anything to give Israel Adesanya.
No.
I don't think Marvin Vittori is going to give him a rematch. I think he's stuck in no man's land. I think the UFC is likely to lowball him on a contract, and we'll see what the fuck happens, because they see his value having gone down, too. I don't think he gained much with this Rockhold thing.
No. I think it was more for Rockhold to gain than...
Rockhold's 37 years old, hadn't fought in 3 years, let's be honest. Yeah. Coming off, he's 1-3 in his last fucking fights, and coming off some big knockouts. In his last fight,
he got knocked out and his jaw broke.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I was rooting for him, though, there's reality. Also, so it wasn't like he was on some streaking fucking
He looked
thing.
Like he was in pretty solid shape, though. He did. Fucking, his chin held up, bro. That's one thing. He's had some fucking, some chinny outings in the past, and this was not one.
No, I think he has more to give. If he'd stick around, I think he could definitely hang out in the top 5.
Yeah.
But I get not wanting to do that as well.
Yeah. That's the thing. With a guy like Rockhold, who has so much outside, like, opportunity when it comes to, like, he's got his own modeling thing and all his...
Yeah, he's got businesses and money and shit going on. He doesn't need to fight, like you said, quite frequently, too.
If it's about a legacy thing, that's what gets him out of bed. That's what gets him... Like, this fight. This was a possibility to continue his legacy. If he would have beat Costa here, with how shallow the middleweight division is right now, you could have easily made some kind of argument that... He should then fight for the belt.
Oh, he'd have more of a claim to a title shot than who's next after Adesanya? I can't remember. I was thinking Khamzat out from it.
Talking about who he's fighting right now.
Yeah,
Alex Pereira.
Yeah. He could be next after that with a convincing win here. Yeah. And I think that's why Rockhold gave it so much, like so exhausted, but still giving everything into punches, trying to knock out Costa because he knew he could win a decision.
Yeah.
And I mean, those were some of the heaviest blows I've ever seen Rockhold land on people. I'll give Costa credit for taking
Costa's
it.
Got a solid chin, too.
A solid chin, motherfucker, because those were bombs.
Well, you've seen that in his last couple fights. He took some bombs from Vittori, too, and kept up, you know?
Well, let's move past that and talk about this outrageous, outrageous main event.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't jumped up yelling like that in fucking months on a UFC card.
Flipped the whole sports world on its head last
night. I mean, in case our listeners somehow haven't heard, Leon Edwards knocked out Kamaru Usman in the final 1 minute of the 5th round in a fight he'd gotten his ass kicked the whole thing.
Yeah.
And is now the new welterweight champion.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was getting tooled up. We were calling him a broken fighter. Yeah. I don't think you can say he wasn't. He looked like a broken fighter. His own corner was like, quit feeling sorry for your fucking self.
Yeah.
Like, because it was written all over his face.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah. I like his corner. His corner is lit. They just say fuck every 2 seconds.
he came out, and I believe it was at the 54-second mark. He unleashes this monstrous head kick right into Usman, who is moving right into the kick, which just murked him. I mean, Usman was out with his eyes open.
Yeah.
Dude. You know, check our Instagram for the shot.
Like, dude.
We got it. You can go.
That shit is fucking nuts. Dude. I feel so bad.
I mean, he was outstruck something like 120.
Yeah, it was 189 of 247 landed for Usman. and then 64 of 85 landed for Leon Edwards.
I mean, Edwards was completely dominated, broken, looked like he wanted to literally
down
be
five times.
Anywhere else.
He got Usman down, though. I'll give him that. He was the first person in UFC history to take him down.
He had a legit takedown on Usman, yeah. Now he's got a takedown and a KO on this motherfucker.
So
I gotta be honest,
go.
I don't think he wins the rematch. I think this is a Matt Serra GSP thing here. Right. I don't think this is, you know, as much as I made this comparison before about Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, that I had this feeling. I mean,
yeah.
I was texting people that. I didn't mean that, like, Usman is going to be exposed kind of like Ronda was. I meant that there's going to be some kind of crazy knockout that no one's really expecting here.
Yeah.
And that there was, you know.
I think Usman just got a little too comfortable, man.
It's more of a.
Because if you watch in the rounds going into that fifth round, he had dominant positions, and he kind of just like, he's like, all right, let's just, I beat him now. Let's just stand up and let's call it a night.
Yeah, he didn't have, he could have played
he could
a
have
much
just,
safer.
Could have played a safer round. Game, man. He could have kept grappling him on the cage like he was doing every other round and, you know, just grind out the last minute and a half. But instead,
yeah,
he stood with him and gave him the best opportunity he had to win the fight.
And
he
Edwards pulled his head out of the dumps, refocused on the fight, because I'm still standing by the fact he was a broken man. He just pulled
he
it back together. Like
he was bullying him. Herb Dean was bullying him.
Yeah, like he pulled it back together though. He pulled the pieces together, and fucking showed us all how it's done.
Just so you know, that means Nate Diaz is now the welterweight champion of the world.
Yes, Nate Diaz logic of play. Break it down for people. Paul.
So Nate Diaz, I can already see it. It's like he's gonna be on Errol Huan. He's like, I don't even know why they're making me fight Khamzat. I don't know why they make me fight these guys. Anyways. Already smacked the champion. Like he'll say some shit like that.
He smacked up Leon.
He smacked up Leon. So like
Leon's a champ.
I shouldn't be fighting these fucking pussies. See, I'm better than everyone. It's literally
just like he's a champ at 155. He smacked up Khabib too. Khabib did. Want none. Ran off like a pussy.
Exactly.
He's even fighting Khabib. He's already beat him.
So congrats to Nate Diaz on the TKO.
The real champ.
The real champ.
But no, it was an amazing thing that happened. I just don't think it sticks. I think we're in almost the exact parallel of GSP Matt Serra, which was he caught lightning in a bottle. He knocked out George St. Pierre.
I think we very well saw that in the fight. I think it was even worse than GSP Serra though, because it wasn't like Serra got dominated and then he knocked GSP out. Like it happened early, quick. It was a surprise. But this one was like. Legitimately one of those one of those crazy highlights where literally everything was stacked against him. Kind of like I literally feel like we were talking about it on the couch too, like before we were watching. We're like, dog, this is like the shit where people are like, this is why you never throw the towel in and shit like this. Mm-hmm. Is because of shit like what Leon just did. Every single judge had him down 3-1. He was facing a pretty much insurmountable lead, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to pull that out is ridiculous.
Less than a minute left.
Yeah. Fucking send him to the Shadow Realm.
And it's funny, his nickname is Rocky. He pulls off
the
real Rocky.
Pulled the Rocky.
Moment.
I was waiting for him to be like, Adrian, in the end, but he didn't do it. Like,
it's
what the fuck? And then, then walks out to the Rocky theme, too, which is pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, it was an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, this is why we love combat
sports, mixed martial arts.
This is the thing that goes down, and it's going to be legendary. Like, we're sitting here now still talking about Matt Serra and GSP. We're going to be talking about Usman and Edwards in this fight for years to come.
Yeah.
You know.
What sucks about this for Usman is this, in the history of, like, so we all know how, what people remember in the end.
Yeah.
And people are not going to remember this as Usman was dominating him and then Rocky Edwards pulled it out. This is going to be like seen as like he knocked him out like in like a crazy scenario, but no one's going to remember the fucking 3 rounds that Usman was literally just beating the fucking life out of him.
He got, dude, he was out cold, but his eyes were wide open and they got camera shots into his vacant, dead ass open eyes.
Well, and then when you watch the broadcast, Herb wakes him up and he's like, no. That didn't happen. What do you mean? No, no, no. Like, he was in denial of what the fuck was going on. and I don't, obviously he's concussed, but obviously, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like just the shock value of everything that had happened is what will be remembered over how much of an almost masterclass Usman put on against Leon Edwards, dude. Outside of that little, you know, first round, you know, that was cool, but Usman was never really in too much danger.
Now, see, here's the thing, though. This, when you look back at GSP's career, mm-hmm. that Matt Serra knockout was a defining moment in more ways than we've stated. It was also a defining moment when it comes to GSP's fight style, because it abruptly switched after that, and he became a much different fighter who was much safer looking to hang on to his belt. And I don't mean that as a criticism, but I think it's undeniable that he played it hella safe after the GSP, or after the Matt Serra fight. Now, will we see that with Usman? Will he go back and win his title?
His style's already like that, though. Like
but his striking has come a long way.
It has.
But is he going to become the lay and pray master, kind of like GSP did at the end?
He was early in his career.
He could revert right back to it. Yeah. And he's so good. It won't be hard either.
Yeah. He could out wrestle most guys. I'm not going
to
fault him
if he does. Yeah. What you need to do is hang on to your belt. If they can't beat your lay and pray, then fuck it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, this makes there now a waiting list at welterweight because I know kind of both of us don't think it's going to happen, but just moving down the weight class, when you look at like next month's pay-per-view with Hamza and Nate Diaz, now you have to, no matter what happens in that fight, they have to run this a third time before they
Hamza was promised a title shot if he beats Nate Diaz, which is a whole other line of bullshit we don't need to dive into. Because it doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
The trilogy fight is next.
Yeah.
And so...
And it could be a minute. Because when people get concussed like that, they usually get a 6 months, like something like that.
He needs a 6 months. Yeah. I think there's like 3 months no contact, minimum.
Like he got flatlined.
Yeah, it wasn't like a TKO where the ref waved it off.
Yeah.
Like, I was glad to see Leon Edwards did not follow that up with a ground and pound. That would have been really brutal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Leon, when he landed it, he knew it was over. He's like, peace out. Fucking done, son. That shit was crazy.
Dude, it's worse than like...
Which one's better? That one or when Usman knocked out Masvidal? Both are like Shadow Realm level.
Yeah.
Or... All
right. I have to say Usman because these camera shots are bad.
Yeah.
They're sick. Oh, yeah. They're awesome. But these photos...
Dude.
Bro, we could zoom right into his dead eyes open while he's unconscious. You can...
That's crazy. Two head kick knockouts back-to-back weeks. We had the Chito Vera head kick knockout of Dominic Cruz, and then we got Usman knockout getting knocked out by Leon Scott.
Absolutely amazing. Leon Scott. I know, it's funny. Be like, who's the welterweight champion?
Leon Scott. Oh. Yeah, I mean Leon Edwards.
Who?
That shit's pretty funny.
But I know, it's going to be the story, sadly, for Leon Edwards is going to be more about how Kamaru Usman lost, not how Leon Edwards won.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, because everybody knows who Usman is.
Yeah. Good point, yeah.
It'll be like, Leon Edwards won. It'll be like, at least everyone who? Fought, who did Leon Edwards fight last night? What are you talking about? Oh, the guy that beat Usman. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I see this maybe... Early next year, run it back.
Where are we right now? We're coming into September. Yeah, I think with
maybe like March of next year.
The severity of that knockout and the time off that's required. And I don't really see Edwards wanting to take another fight in the meantime.
Yeah, he got beat up a little bit.
I mean, it wasn't more than
a little bit.
Everybody knows it was.
He looked fresh, but he was getting fucked up in the body.
Dude, he looked fresh at the end because he got that crazy adrenaline rush of, I just knocked the fucker out in the last minute.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing that brought the freshness because he got whooped up on. I don't think he wins the rematch, and I don't think he wants to, risk it against Chimaev, really? I don't see him risking the rematch. The rematch will be a huge fight. He might even get to have it in London, they're already saying. Yeah. He ain't risking that to fight nobody. I don't give a fuck. They made Leon wait 10 goddamn fights for this shit.
This is his turn.
He's not going to fucking wait and fight some fucking dangerous dude like Chimaev. in the meantime because Usman needs time off to recoup. No fucking way. No fucking way, dude.
You know, the mind tends to run wild sometimes, Jared. And I was thinking, you know, there's other people Leon can fight in the meantime if Usman has to take some time off.
You go fight nobody. Maybe some dude in another weight class for some other title without putting his on the line.
Nah, that ain't happening. There is somebody he could fight, and you know who it is.
Who?
You know, he could fight Conor McGregor for that welterweight title in London. Humongous soccer stadium. All
right, okay, I take that back. You're right. There is one person.
Because he's called Conor. Yeah,
dude. But you're right.
He fucking just... I don't either, but he's always in there for a fucking red panty night.
Shit. I really didn't think of that. I amend my statement. There's no current contenders in the welterweight division that he would fight.
The welterweight.
But he might, yeah. That's a bigger fight.
He's talked about, talking about fighting for the welterweight belt.
Especially
instead
if they
of fighting
gave it
a lightweight.
To him in London.
Oh, yeah. Big-ass soccer stadium, dog.
Be a hell of a reward. Nuts. For fucking...
I don't really know if there's one out there, but... Wherever there's a big ass one and wherever the fuck he wants it. Like, that's literally what I would say.
And I don't think Usman would have a problem with that because the worst case scenario for him would be that Conor wins. I mean, right?
I don't really think that's the worst case scenario.
Or is the worst case scenario that Edwards wins? I mean, either way, Usman wins. He gets the rematch still with Edwards, or he gets the red panty night with Conor to fight like the real champion, and he probably beats the shit out of Conor McGregor.
All leaves comes out in the dark.
I would think that I think Usman would beat on McGregor much like he beat on Edwards.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think so too.
I just don't see that being competitive. But I do see Leon Edwards versus Conor McGregor. That could be
possibly
something competitive there.
Yeah. I could also see Leon beating Conor too.
What's Leon's wrestling game like?
Is that right? Well, fucking, he's the only one who ever took Usman down, so
yeah,
seems
was
like
a nice
pretty
trip.
Fucking good.
It wasn't like he busted through with a double leg. I mean, he was right there, and he got the trip. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was sick. Slammed him
it
right
was
down.
Cool.
Off
I was
of
like,
him.
Damn, what? When that happened, I was, like, shocked. Because that was that first round, too, and I was like, damn, bro.
Because Colby took
fight,
him down,
dog.
But he didn't get credit for it. They didn't count that as a takedown, so it is what it is, and it's not. But... I argue, and I think you would agree, Colby took him down. But it doesn't count, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
So now, Edwards, definitely, you can't deny that one.
The Colby one was like, just depends. Like, in a wrestling match, it's a takedown, but, like, does that really translate?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Because, there's different rules. But, with that being said, that was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, it was good, you know.
Congrats, Leon Edwards.
This is a pay-per-view I was happy to get.
Yeah.
That changed the whole thing. I mean, if it just would have ended with Usman and the beatdown, it would have been just kind of like a blah, honestly. I don't know if that would be worth $80 total.
Yeah.
But that massive historical victory
that
will go down in the annals of MMA history as one of these all-time great comebacks.
Upsets, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to have ordered that. That was good
Remember,
shit.
Remember, I believe it was right before the fight, they said that somebody had put 40 Gs on Leon to win 164,000.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, 4 G. I don't know. I don't know if it was 4 or 40. I don't know. Can't remember. But my point being is someone won $164,000 off that fight.
Nice bet. You know, they think we were yelling?
Yeah, they were like, what the fuck?
They spent the whole fight miserable.
They spent the rest of the night
God.
Fucking on cloud nine, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's go cash our ticket. But yeah, what a fight.
Yep, good
Congrats
shows. Great day of combat sports from boxing, BKFC, ending it with the MMA. Absolutely awesome day. I think that wraps the show, though.
Yep. Thanks for watching, everyone.
Yeah, we'd like to thank our sponsor for the show, Binoid. Go to our website, SWATMMA.com. Click on the gear, the cool stuff button. Click on the cool stuff button. Check out Binoid CBD. It'll give you a chance if you live in a state where it is not legal for you to smoke or enjoy cannabis products. You can enjoy all kinds of CBD and Delta THC products. SWATMMA.com.
Where you can also head over there and click the gear button and then support the podcast and buy a t-shirt, motherfuckers.
Yeah, just like this one, fool.
Yup. And then head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMMA Podcast.
Peace.